Amen. Thank you. Good evening, everybody. Hello. You like it? I'm trying to be like my leader. Wish you're in the same wash rag. Those of you who I hadn't got to meet that much and talk with that much, I'm just so thankful to be here. It's amazing how we can be in a church that seemed like a few years ago you just knew everybody, and now it's like, how long have you been going here? You know, because if you sit over there, you can't get to those people over there, and if they're over there, you can't get it over there, and you try to go around and catch them in the back and all that. But anywho, so a lot of you I know, but some of you I do not. I just want to make sure you know that tonight is a very humbling thing for me because I want to let you know, most of you know, we have not mastered parenting. We're not even through parenting. We have a 17-year-old and a 14-year-old, so let's just stop and pray that they're not burning down the house or something right now. They were cooking when we left. But so we're definitely not somebody coming and talking as if I'm talking down to you. I wish y'all were standing up or, you know, we're just sitting around a table or something. But there's nothing here that there's no I'm smarter than you. I got this, boy. Don't you wish you had it? There's none of that. But I do want you to know I'm just humbled to be here, and I want you to know that they're very thankful for the privilege of hopefully helping in the journey. I've been working with students for a little while. I started figuring this out earlier, and I was like, oh my goodness, it hadn't been that long. I think it's been since fall of 89, so it's been a few years, 26 plus or something like that. And I was like, holy cow. And what's amazing is I still don't feel like it's been but like yesterday, like you know, if you ever go out and play with your kids, you know real quick you can't do what you used to do. Your mind says you can, then the next day you realize you shouldn't have tried even. But so that's really where we're at with student ministry. It's just been something like when I graduated, I went to a smaller church, and so just people loved us. We had parents. We didn't have youth pastors. There was no such animal. Didn't even know what that was. We had some parents who loved us, and I'll tell you a little bit of my story real quick so you know some background. My mom and dad were married for 28 years and then split up. And I'm like, you got 28 years in, you couldn't have stuck that thing out. Anyway, I can't comprehend it still. And so because of that, my mom and remarried, and she moved off to Florida. My dad and I hung in there together. And so pretty much my entire teenage years was just he and I. But a couple of those years, they had a business together when the separation and stuff, looking back on it, was happening. They had a business together. She ran a ambulance service they did together. And it was kind of a new concept. It was just transport service. It was not go to the rec scene. It was go to nursing homes or hospitals and transport them from place to place. So it was real cool. It was like her dream. And they were always gone. So I had people living at my house all the time. I mean, it was just me and them. So I grew up real fast. My older brother, I think, just by a neighbor, was 7 years older than me. And all this stuff you look back on, hindsight's 20/20, and you just see exactly what God did. He lets you have older friends, you'd be around older people earlier enough so that you didn't do stuff like burn down my house, because I had every opportunity to do so because I was 12 years old buying groceries by myself and that kind of thing. And so 13 years old, and again, had a buddy that was living with me and 1 week, another buddy the next week. And all these people in the church, though, these you raised me. So there's no such animal to me as we have people that come and work with student ministry over here. There's no such thing as just a volunteer. There's no such thing. You're the reason I'm here. You and coaches. And so that was my parenting. And so the first time that I got to see a couple, and I found this couple that really told me something that changed my world, and that was not only the gospel that was clear to change, but I'm talking about changed me being able to relationally, was when they told me that I could tell them whatever and they'd always love me. Unconditional love. And I believed them. And you know, they still do. It's amazing. And fast forward through teenage years, you can only imagine with that much freedom comes that much responsibility, and with that much freedom, lack of responsibility. So there was some craziness that happened through the teenage years of just growing pains. Went to my first bar in Auburn. I'm looking at you because you were there. I don't know why I did that. I knew you went to Auburn, so I guess that's why I landed on it. But I was in at my first bar at 13.
I thought you saw me at Bible study.
Yeah, Bible study. And then yeah, that was you. But I was in this first bar at 13 in Auburn, and I was sitting there going, why am I here? You know. And so had older friends that were good, and they had older friends that wasn't good. But the growing up part, I think, really got me ready for what God was preparing, looking back. Because then when I graduated and I was really surrendered, trying to seek the Lord of what he wanted me to do. And it was, just kept coming back to the same thing. And that was, you love me, but I got a plan for you, but you're going to have to go through some stuff. I mean, you got to seek me. And so I started seeking, and I did the unthinkable, impossible at me at the time. I mean, I grew up with a town where there was two caution lights. They're not red. They just blink. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so it was crazy to thought of moving to Florida. That was insane. But that's what God was kept telling me, kept probing me to move to away and seek me. And I'm so glad I did. So finally one day when I hit, it was just so rock bottom, just not understanding, God, nothing's happening here the way it should happen. I'm working three jobs, I'm working third shift, I'm trying to go to school and everything. And why, God, why? So I tell you these things because it all blends into why I'm here and why, what I do, because when the Lord sent me there to Florida, with a car with no air conditioner and $15 and dirty laundry, more than I can just the stuff in the back. But I was moving with my mom, who remarried my dad's best friend. Now, that was also the one that I don't know if you put it together yet or not, my dad did not like anymore. And we had attempts to go kill him together before. So now I'm moving into his home for a period of time. So I saw that parenting from another aspect. I lived with the parents that it looked fine. Church on Sunday. Now, we blew off the dust to go to church, you know, and then we went. But we were in church. Everything was good. Southern, parenting. Then, it exploded. They were gone. And then I lived under the roof of dysfunction, in my opinion. Not because you might be in that situation. I'm just saying, in my world, it was just because I was like, whoa, this is amazing. I'm getting in trouble. I'm 19 years old, 20 years old, and I'm getting in trouble about where I put the mayonnaise back in the refrigerator. I mean, it was just, holy cow, this is so different. So there was two, again, people parenting that both now have surrendered and both love the Lord, and if I forget to say it later, God has reconciled all the, just brought it back to where everybody's, to God be the glory, knows the Lord, everybody, my dad's with the Lord, my mom's still taking care of her husband. I mean, they love the Lord, and relationship mended, so to God be the glory for that. But at that season, and that time, I just want to let you know, I know now why I went through what the Lord allowed me to go through then, was because I had, and I still have, the absolute most broken heart for students and kids. That's why I get up every day still. And I can't believe it's been that long, because I feel like I'm still with them. Still feel like I hadn't graduated middle school as far as maturity-wise most of the time. It's just terrible. I just love students, and I hurt for them. The reason I hurt is because my story, just that little bit, is just their daily story. And it's overwhelming. Because those, even though that's not your story, that's who your kids are hanging out with some. That's who your kids are going to go to camp with. That's who your kids are going to worship with. That's who your kids are going to be on a bus with. That's who your kids are going to, and be looking for a spouse with. So I have met some parents and they say, you know what? I'm just going to take care of my own. I'm like, well, if we don't start pouring into them, we got problems in the future. No, on top of what Scripture just obviously says, but we got problems because there are going to be some kids that they don't know truth. And they've never seen a dad. They don't have a clue what a mom looks like. And I was blessed to go to a church, and that lady and that man that loved me, that first told me that, by the way, they prayed for me several things. They prayed that I would leave, and I would find, because they knew I needed to go. And then I called her on the way. I called them on the way and told them I was going. They just rejoiced over the phone, as we all wept from a payphone. Nobody ever there understands what that is, but you know what I'm talking about. The old car phone where you pull your car up and talk through the window. You were bad then. Anyway, so, but we wept together, and she said, I'm praying for you this. We're going to pray for you to find a church, for you to find a job, for you to find a church that will put you in school, and that you'll find a good, godly friend, brother, and that you will find a spouse. And they all came to pass. If you need her number, she's a good prayer warrior. I'll give it to you afterwards. But it all came true. I went to this job. The Lord gave me this job in a sporting goods store. Love athletics, so just always been in sports. This is in the sporting goods store. I was the only believer in the store. That was a great experience. Another time, let's go to lunch. But they smarted off to me. One of the guys who just always picked any, make fun of anything, said, hey, youth pastor coming in to buy a basketball goal. Y'all talk to him. I went, my flesh, I wanted to say something else, but I said, I'd love to. Ended up being the godly friend. He'd gotten there 2 weeks before me from Texas, and that was his first youth ministry position. And again, remember my story, didn't know what that was, but I thought, are you kidding? You're going to get to do this and get paid for it, and that's what you're going to do? So I just sat back and watched him make a bunch of mistakes, and I helped him. But the church he invited me to, I went to that night after work, and I sat down and I met my father-in-law. Didn't know it at the time, but it was Angie's dad. He was a pastor of that church, and he walked to the back where I was sitting and put a mic in front of my face and wanted to introduce me to everyone. Now, from where I come from, they always stay up there, you know, and they never, ever, ever, ever introduce anybody like that, ever. So I thought, I found one of those. Hallelujah! I have found one of those. There's snakes coming, and I'm not going to be able to get out of here because the deacons are going to be bigger than me. So I was like panicking, and I had no clue that that guy would be my father-in-law, but that guy is so absolute Beaver Cleaver family that you've ever seen, the spiritual Beaver Cleaver family. I mean, her brother, Angie's brother Paul, was my second best friend there. And I fell in love with him before I fell in love with Angie. That was our thing, and it's what we talked about. Y'all know what I mean by that. In 2016, you listening on the website, it's not what you're thinking. So we were real tight, and I walked into their home one night, and he said, Mom, it's kind of a brisk wind outside. It'd be a good night for cookies. She came off the couch and started baking cookies. I can't even tell you in this building what my mom would have said if I'd have told her that when I came in. I started seeing this parenting style there that was like, wow, are y'all real? Is there batteries in your back? You know, I have never seen. So I'm merging into this family, being adopted into this family. I'm getting another parenting type. I'm getting another parenting, type I've never seen, a form of parenting, and it was just, whoa, it's amazing. There was grace there. There was love there, unconditional love. There was truth there. There was no regret there. There's forgiveness there. And here we go. I start dating his daughter, and it all comes apart. Grandpa, if you're listening, I remember the day when he walked into my office, saw her picture on my desk, and turned it over and walked out. I could be his youth pastor, but I could not date his daughter. And there, because he knew, I was coming from such a different place. It terrified them to know that my parents were divorced. They had been praying for Angie. She should never, ever, ever have to go through that, because they knew the pain that she would experience too, because the two become one in marriage. And some of you in this room know exactly what I mean. Because what you did is you came from that dysfunction in the world's word, and you, where God put two together, and they were like spiritual beaver cleavers, and the two worlds now are coming together, and you know that is going to bring some issues. So that's where we are. So we started this with two people that could not be so different, and I'm hot, she's cold. I'm ready to go, she's ready to wait. I'm a microwave, she's a crock pot. And you're probably married to one, just like that. It's amazing how many times there's a babbling brook and a Dead Sea. I'm the Dead Sea, she's the babbling brook. Just kidding. But, so in your relationship, kind of think about that right now. Point to the babbling brook. Who's the babbling brook? Who's the babbling brook?
Please don't.
You know who it is. Who's the Dead Sea? It'd be the other one. If you're both the babbling brooks, you probably got, though, that it happens sometimes, you've probably got some fireworks going on at your house. If you got the Dead Sea, you don't even know you're there. It's so quiet, nothing's happening. And these two becoming one, as we know in marriage, the two becoming one is so challenging that what we're trying to do now is that we're trying to get along. We're trying to love each other, accept each other, forgive each other. And then the Lord gives us children. What were you thinking? Right? Oh, my word. I remember the night before I got married, I laid on the floor of my little bitty motorhome trailer, shag carpet, you remember? And I begged God, please let me die through the night if this isn't what I'm supposed to do. I don't want to screw this up. I didn't sleep well at all. Then I remember before bed, looking at her with the street light coming through, just looking at her sleep going, oh no, I'm responsible for this. And then the baby comes. Our first one was our daughter, Princess. And you remember that when they hand it to you, Dad? You remember? Oh my word. Wherever you were when you were handed that baby in the waiting room, wherever that place was, you remember. And you thought, again, that same, I'm not ready. I don't know how to do this. And you're right. We're not. But he is able. He is able. And I think a key verse as we go through and just look at these things, and I tell you, one week, one little setting, just know we're not going anywhere. We've been here a while. And so what we don't get to and what we don't get to talk about, we'll love to go to lunch and hang out or coffee anytime and talk. But it's found in the book of James, I think is a foundational verse for parenting. In the book of James, chapter 1, verse 2, consider it pure what? Joy. Consider it pure joys, my brother, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops what? Perseverance, endurance, different version. I'm sorry, I'm reading from NIV. Develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature. So you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. Whew, parents, listen. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. Listen, I work with students, and I work especially, we use Platform of Athletics with FCA, obviously, and to share the gospel. And one of the things I love is talking to kids about pride. You know, have pride, but everywhere in the scripture it looks like there's no good place for pride. You know, so this is it. So what does it say? It says, verse 9, the brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position. I found it. The way that we take pride as parents is being so humble before Almighty God to know he gave them to us. Now we can just, oh my goodness, here we go. Oh my goodness. That's what we take pride. We're just going to take pride in having to stay humble. And if you're not humble, your kids aren't old enough. You will be. just tonight. Walked in, hadn't seen my kids since they got the new hairdo. It's a whole nother story. And they go, whoa! You know, it's amazing. Work with middle schoolers. Work with those preteen ages. They'll just tell you exactly, wow, your nose, your butt, your hair, they'll just tell you. So just go ahead. And then all that you're going through all these things. But when it says C-I-A-J, just remember, say that with me, C-I-A-J.
C-I-A-J.
We can go quicker even. Yeah, count it all joy. Count it all joy. You just need to kind of get the T-shirt. Yeah, C-I-A-J, C-I-A-J. When you're parenting, it's just C-I-A-J. Consider all joy. Now, how could we, not happy. Remember, we're not talking about happy, I'm happy. I heard a guy talk about that. He said, that guy just sounds like he's trying to talk himself into being happy. If you think, hear the song, you know what I mean. But exactly, there you go. But if you think about it, joy is, I would consider all joy because I know that, again, he did this. He gave it, and he is able. And what does Hebrews 12 say? Hebrews 12. Somebody got Hebrews 12? The book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Somebody, if you would, read verses 1 through, let's go down to verse 3. Let's just go to verse 3 right here.
Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint hearted.
Amen. Thank you, brother. I heard a brother, and we love, I don't know if you got to know a bunch of sister PCA churches, but there's one down the road in Albertville. We do a lot of ministry with them, too. And Jackie Gaston. Anybody know Brother Jackie in here? Love Brother Jackie. He come and spoke and challenged our we have internship in the summer, and Brother Mike comes speak, and Brother Jackie comes speak, and want to speak truth into the kids. And he talked about this word one time when he was talking to our staff, and he said, remember when it says joy, you're his joy. That's why. You're his joy, and then there are joy. Consider it all joy when you face trials of many kinds. Now, I know the time is flying by, so I'm just going to go over a few things that I think that really will help when you think about looking at big picture of where you're at. Listen to these, and you might agree. I know there's so many different thoughts out there. There's different seasons of parenting, and I've heard all different kinds, and you have too probably, but just using this guideline, see where you're at right here. Birth to 5 or age 6, it would be called the caretaker stage. Caretaker. Anybody in the caretaker stage here? Caretaker? Yeah? Okay. All right. 6 to 12, we all get the caretaker. They depend on us for everything. I mean, you got to do everything. I mean, you're providing food, clothing, shelter, but you're bringing it to them, that season. Then the next season, say ages 6 to 12, some have called the cop stage. Stop! Go! No! It's copping the whole time, ages 6 to 12. And I got to tell you, that is a stage that is really unique because it comes out of that caretaker, which is so hard to go from caretaker to cop to this next one. And that is starting in the teenage years from 13, basically 13 to 18, is the coach stage. The coach. Where now I'm just trying to coach them up. I'm trying to truly train because I know they're fixed to leave. I mean, we are in the coach stage right now, and it is a weird season. They're all different, but the coach, coming out of the caretaker to the cop is not, but the cop to the coach is really tough. Because now we're trying to know that they, I just can't look at her or look at him and they stop. For some in the room, you know what I'm talking about that. The dad or the mom's got that look and they stop. that the coach, now you got to do push-ups or something. I mean, you got to be creative. You got to find what is that thing that is going to help them stop. What are those things? I want to ask you that some more later. And the last one is a consultant. Once they reach 18 to 19 and up, we just become consultants. They're hopefully going to ask information. We're going to give information. They're going to probably choose whether or not they're going to take it. Now, how you do, in my opinion, how you do in the caretaker and the cop and the coaching is whether they're going to listen to us as a consultant. And that, hopefully, prayerfully, is what we all get to be. Now, in the room, tell me how many are in, by show of hands again, how many are in that caretaker? How many caretaker? Okay, wow. I could tell your eyes were tired, okay? You're not sleeping well. I got you. All right, how many of you are copping? How many of you are copping? Yes, no. Yeah, good deal. What, coaching? Who's coaching in here too? Yeah. Yes, yeah, us. We're coaching. Who's consulting now? All you're doing is consulting mostly all the time. Now, for some of you that are consulting, would you raise your hand again? Would you raise your hand? Everybody look around. These are the people to have lunch with. These are the people. They've been there. I mean, I wholeheartedly believe that, and I talked to the Cummings of the night, Ms. Cummings, I said, make sure you speak up in there, because people who have been there, finished, that they can give great insight. And these are the people that long after next Wednesday that you can go to. And I really believe that that's going to be the key, and I'll come back to that in a second. But there's several books that, and just before we open up the floor a little bit, a few other things. There's a few books that I think are really outstanding that will help, that I've seen help a lot of parents. Also have some names of some counselors that if you ever want some counselors, they're doing a good job with students at different of those stages and with different issues. And that's key, I found, okay, is it's not just sending to a Christian counselor. For years, that's what a lot of people, they said, just recommend a Christian counselor. I'm like, okay. And then I started seeing product of that, and I'm telling you, find out the need, what is the need, and then find out and do some study on where is their specialty, where is their heart at? Where's that counselor's heart at? What does he feel like? This is my, I mean, that would be worth to go see him before you take your kid there. So what is your specialty? What is the thing that you've studied the most on, the prayed on the most, that tugs on your heart? I mean, I got a guy that I know that he's really convicted on how pornography is stealing the couple and stealing the marriage, et cetera. And every time I talk to him, I mean, he talks to me about all these things, the statistics and everything about pornography. I mean, he really is not the one to send my kid if he's got an alcohol problem. Y'all see what I'm saying? If my kid's got a cutting problem, and by the way, that does exist. For us over 40, we struggle with it. Like, do kids really cut themselves? It exists in a big way. So how do we help them? Well, again, find out who to send them to. But there's this guy named Dr. Tim Elmore. Dr. Tim Elmore has written a book called The IY Generation, and it is excellent, in my opinion. This is just my opinion. He's a believer. He writes some stuff that we use in public schools. We use the value-based only and the public school setting. And he's written, of course, stuff for youth ministries and that kind of thing that that you can use as well. But what he does is he really has his fingers, I think, on the pulse of the generation, because he studied it. Again, back to his heart. What is his heart? It's finding out what this, and why he calls it IY generation, is because we're dealing with a generation that's never lived without the internet. They've never lived without the internet. Now, that can just fly by you and, oh, well, or you can grab a hold of it for a few minutes. I used to wait for this 4-H project for my dad. When is he going to get home? When is he going to get home? I got to get this thing done. We got to get this stool done. We got to get this birdhouse done. I have no idea how to do this. He's got to come. When is he going to come? Today, I don't. YouTube, boom, here's how you build a birdhouse. Never need anybody. And that's what he talks about. They don't think they need anybody. They don't think they need anybody. They can do anything. The smartest generation, he says, is ever in the history of the church. And you have to agree, here, you could give them some credit. But boy, common sense, look out. You know, and spiritual common sense is really bad. I mean, my kid, that, by the way, that that coach stage, they don't know what they're doing. They're going through that early coach stage with their 13 and the puberty part. I'm putting up arrows to get my son out of the shower. You know what I'm saying? It's like he's like, oh, I don't know what to do. But there is so much. There is so much going on in their bodies. And he just talks about we've got to make sure as parents, as leaders, that we're putting the right wind and pushing them the right direction. So I highly recommend this book. Also, everybody knows him here, Dr. Jerry Bridges' Pursuit of Holiness. I think that is a great book for parenting. I think it's a great book to read with your kids, to have your kids read. It's not a hard read, and it's a good thing to talk about. It's a great book to go over. I think that is excellent. This IY Generation book, it has in chapter, again, giving him credit, and page 99 of his book, IY Generation, he breaks down some different types of parents. And it's just so important that we're honest about, again, stay humble, that when you hear yourself in here, don't go, but that's not me, you know. That's not me, uh-uh. You know, just go ahead, and once you hear it, And if you know, your spouse taps you, that really means you are. Okay, so here we go. Have you seen these parents? You may know parents like these, or you may be one. Number one, helicopter parents. Hover too close. The helicopter parents. One that's not on here that a parent that I think's a helicopter parent told me that he said, I'm not a helicopter parent. Okay. He said, I'm a bulldozer parent. I plow and clear out the way so there's nothing possibly can go wrong for them. That's my problem. I said, bless your heart, you got it. I mean, it's exactly right. They're so sweethearted, he and his wife, they will go over and above and beyond to just try to make it as clear as possible. And he knows it. That's good. But I guess that would be, again, right there off of helicopter parents. Bulldozer parents. Maybe that could be somebody you know or yourself. Number two, though, karaoke parents. Oh, try hard to be cool, you know, the karaoke parents. We're just going to be the cool parents. Number three, the drop-off parents. The dry cleaner parents. The dry cleaner parents. They drop their kids off for others to raise. So the greatest advice I was given before, I've done ministry in two states, Florida and Alabama. I think really three, because Lower Alabama and North Alabama are so different. It's not even funny. I mean, it's just, and Florida is like gray matter. It's insane. Again, I came from a small church in Alabama, in Central Alabama, and moved to Florida, and didn't even know what youth ministry was. It was just always a family in our church to being in charge of a youth ministry where we had children that they liked boys and girls. We had girls that liked girls, we had girls that liked that liked boys. In 1991. Now, that was like, whoa, what? I mean, hey, honey, could you sleep with her on this trip? Can you room with her? And she's like, ready to kill me. I'm like, well, I don't know where to put her. I can't put her with other girls. I can't put her with the boys. Yeah, I mean, she likes both. Where do we put that girl? By the way, I asked her later, like, all right, you got to be real with me. Your dad has a plane in his garage. They live at their own airport. Okay, they got their own airport with the streets wide enough for their plane. You got to get off. So you got everything. You're smart. You're a beautiful young lady. You're a beautiful princess. Why? She goes, well, she lets me go at my own pace. And I just, you know, I said, all right, listen. Has somebody ever pushed themselves on you? All the time. Boys, where she'd been. Back, the history there was awful. So there's always a reason, in my opinion, that a kid goes to that kind of crazy lifestyle, or we would call out of the ordinary. So, but during that youth pastor days, somebody told me about, you know, Ken, just remember, you're not responsible for how these kids turn out. Because at the beginning, I thought it was all my, I thought I was raising 40, 50, 60, and as a youth group, I thought I had to raise them all. And I was 20, in my 20s, and Angie, and we were just every night just having kids at the house and just trying and trying, and we were on this circle, and finally somebody told me that, and it just like, whew. It was another older minister of the gospel that just set me free. But there's a lot of people who believe this for youth ministry today, big time. And I'm so thankful for a pastor in a session that don't believe that we should have anything like that, that it's the family responsibility, and that we're just here to compliment and encourage and be there with you. Number four, volcano parents erupt over minor issues. The volcano. Volcano! I mean, it's going to erupt, man. It could happen at any time. The volcano parents. Number five, the dropout parents. They let the kids down. The dropout parents, they let the kids down. They're out of here. Number six, bullied parents. They can't stand up to their kids. Bullied parents. Helicopter parents, all these areas are tough, what we see, but this is a real tough one. Well, they're 16 now. I can't tell you how many parents have told me that. Well, they're 16 now. I was like, well, they're 18 now, and they're done parenting. There's nothing else we can do. They're 16 now. It blows my mind. They're being bullied. For sure. Groupie parents, number seven, groupie parents treat their children like rock stars. You know, you hear a lot of this. It's coming from the brother that wrote the gospel powered parenting. You hear a lot of this mixing up here. The groupie parents, though, they're out there, treat their children like rock stars, and it is a temptation for sure. And number eight, the commando parents let rules trump relationship. This is the rule, you know, that guy. Sorry, I'm very loud. Very. I have AD something. I wasn't paying attention when they told me, and it comes crazy. Sorry. Number eight, commando parents, they let rules trump relationships. Now, these parents are out there, and they're sitting in this very room, aren't they? They're here. We all struggle in some of those areas, and it's tough. So, again, we got to take pride in our humble circumstance, and CIAJ, just consider it our joy. We get to do it again. Wake up again tomorrow and say yes to God. Wake up again tomorrow and say yes to God. Wake up again tomorrow and say yes to God and do it all over again. I keep telling Angie every year we win Parents of the Year January 1st at 12 o'clock and we lose it at 12:01. It just never stays long. It's just like sometimes I lay in bed like you and you wonder, is this the day that we do this today? What we did today, is this why they're going to put us in the home early? You know, this is what it's going to be. I want to tell you a few other things, and we'll talk some more, that I've seen when you look at the big picture of what's the number one parenting issue. I think go to a legendary Hall of Fame coach, Bobby Bowden, who was asked the same thing about kids, who coached all those decades of kids. And he said, you know, everybody asked me, have kids changed? Have kids changed since you started? He said, kids hadn't changed. Parents have changed. Parents have changed. He's no great theologian, but I think he's spot on. And the parents have changed because marriage has totally changed. I think what he said earlier, and this is the last book I recommend, it saved my marriage. I'm not saying we were going to get a divorce, but I don't want to even think about where we would be right now with our marriage. And that is The Five Love Languages by Dr. Gary Chapman. The Five Love Languages. If you want a great anniversary trip, go to one of their seminars. If you want just to be blessed, get the book, Five Love Languages, and really read it together. And then they have love languages that you can start to understand for your children. And they got some material on that through Dr. Gary Chapman. And we were married 10 years before we stopped ministry to go do it. Angie was wanting to do it. And Angie, my wife didn't ask for anything. If you can't be married to Angie, you can't be married to anybody. I mean, she's just amazing. Unbelievable. By the way, I call her my donut because she's hot and holy. All right. So, but you know, it's amazing because 10 years in our marriage, and we go to this seminar, The Five Love Languages, and boom, it just really, lights come on. And if one of the things he said, and we had small kids, but we had kids, and we'd always say this to each other. Well, we'll get together later. Let's just do this for the kids. I know, but let's just do that later because we got to get this for the kids. We got to get this for the kids. And he said, many of you out there, I'm like, is he reading our mail or is he in our home? He said, you're always doing it for the kids. He said, the kids get their emotional, social, spiritual, physical, all maturity and secure, all their security from you in your marriage. And he couldn't be more true. So that being said, make sure that you're dating your mate. Guys, I'm not talking about going to your favorite restaurant. Read the five love languages, you know what I mean there. But go on a date every week. Now, for sometimes in that season of caretaker, it's very hard. So I just want to encourage you. It could be coffee on the back porch while they're asleep. Or it could be just they're asleep and you lock their door and they can't get out. I'm kidding. Don't do that. But just date your, make it special. Make sure they know that it's no phone. It's eyeball time. Make sure you date your mate. And then this is something I wish I'd done a lot more. We did it every year as a big highlight. And now I do it every week. And that is date your kids. Date your kids. Especially men with daughters. It is the joy of everything. Usually ours is Sunday night after youth group. And it's Sunday nights are usually our time. It is special. I'll tell you how special. We're now praying for her prince, her request. And you're talking about something special. I'm overwhelmed by that humble privilege. If I didn't deal on that date, I'd have missed it all. Missed it. Date your kids. Date your mate first. Date your kids. And then I want to encourage you, that marriage, make sure that you're physical in front of your children. May all your kids, he said, the last thing he said, make sure your kids see you kissing, catch you kissing all the time. And it couldn't be more true. There are so many girls that have allowed guys to have thine own way. And it's all because they are so insecure. They never had a man ever physically touch them, love them. So I just want to encourage you in that regard real quick. And don't forget, texts are great. Scripture, text scripture in their world. You got to do that kind of thing. I Want Generation to help you there. But writing works too. Post-it notes. Just jot them a note. Put it somewhere where they're going to be. You don't think it means something. And then boom. You go in their room one day, you shut the door, look for something, and it's all behind their door posted. Blows you away. So those things matter. And last but not least, for real, for floor, for questions, say no. I had a girl, I struggled so bad with that. She was trying to make him happy. I almost left a kid in Arizona one day because I let him do what he wanted, and we left him, and we were going to the airport, and he was still back at the pet shop, and you learn lessons the hard way. Aren't you glad I'm your student minister? Anyways, I had Tori walk in. And Tori came inside my couch. Tori was a beautiful young lady who, when I first got to that church, she just won junior miss whatever and this stuff, you know, with all the pageants. And then she got away from the Lord, divorced parents that she played against each other. Get mad at one, get moved with the other. Get mad at one, get moved with the other. And then she got to do whatever she wanted. She had no limits, had no boundaries. So what happened is she did everything she wanted to do. And Tori sat on my couch and taught me a great lesson as a teenager. Big tears coming down that princess's face because she did come to Christ. She said, I just want somebody to tell me no. I grabbed that girl and thank you for telling me that. Because that's parenting. We got to say no. You got to say no. You'll be their best friend when you're a consultant. But right now, be their parent. Be their parent. And parent to the end. And consider it all joy that we get to do it. Questions. I've blown time. We got 8 minutes. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's going to happen. It's like drinking water from a fire hose. But any thoughts questions, concerns, social media that you out there. Anybody heard of Snapchat? Anybody heard of Snapchat? I have not found one thing that one student has been able to tell me, convince me with, that it's good. I just highly recommend don't have it. I encourage you not to have it. Snapchat is where the picture shows up and then it disappears. So you can imagine what a kid will send if he knows it disappears. Now it's somewhere, but they can't find it. But here's what will happen. There's a thing called screenshot on your phone where you can hit two buttons at one time and it'll save the screen. And guess what? You don't have to worry if it's going to get around school Monday. It's now there. And we've seen fights, we've heard of brawls, we've heard of, you can only imagine, door knocking and big brother's at the door and he's trying to get his sister out of class. Are you going to tell dad or you want me to? You know, this Snapchat, I'm sorry if you're listening to Snapchat owners. Convince me that something's good, but I just highly recommend taking it off. Also, again, as I mentioned last week, I just want to let you know, I didn't get any questions, so I'm trying to just cover things. There's some things out there, like Instagram, that you can get on and watch a video, okay? And you can't trace that. So they might sit there and they say, let me see your phone. Because our kids know, they have phones, but they know anytime I grab it, and when they're asleep, they might... Yeah, I've got it. Always have the passwords. And you give them your passwords, is my opinion. Let them know, hey, nothing on my phone. Shouldn't be nothing on your phone, okay? But so they could use it or whatever if they need it, that kind of thing. While talking about that, the parents think, well, I know I chase it. But see, there's no history there of some things they can watch video-wise. Now, unless you're a computer guru, I haven't found anything. I've searched online. I can't figure out how to chase that. So they could be getting addicted to pornography and you not even know it. And you're checking them and you don't even know it. So make sure that passwords are open. Personal opinion, growing up back in the small town, everybody got shot by an unloaded gun. Y'all remember those days? Well, Billy Bob got shot. The gun was unloaded. They were cleaning it, and it got killed. That never made sense to me. There was a bullet lodged in the chamber. This is not unloaded. It's always loaded. And when you give this to them in their bedroom with a door shut, you just give them a loaded gun to play with. At 13, 17, 18, 15, 12, it doesn't matter. And by the way, they're carrying them in middle school. I know you probably know this already, but they're carrying them in middle school. Some elementary kids have them. And I understand that for emergency purposes, but I just want to let you know, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but just know that you're giving them you're not giving them an unloaded gun to play with or to have in their closet or in the safe. So I highly recommend just don't let them have their phone in their, ever shut the door and never in their room. I don't recommend ever having a TV in your room, not today's world. It just distressed. Don't trust me, I really want to encourage you about the password thing, just being real transparent about, you know, you have any accounts, you know, and that's where the date comes in. You can get to that stuff, and then ask them those tough things about school. One dad told me, he said, I don't know what to talk about on our date. Like, let them talk, just ask them, and then they'll go, you know. Well, what happened to your friends? What are some of your friends doing wrong? Oh, where did that come from? But just to give you an idea of how sick, and just, I'm not trying to scare everybody, but my daughter's running track at a local school. I'm not going to say the school, but she's just out running. And a girl ran up to her that she's never talked to before. And this girl just starts encouraging my daughter, asking her who all she's had sex with in school. She doesn't even know her. She said, well, you got to have sex with so-and-so and so. Everybody in Huntsville, you know. It's a different world. It's a different world. Parenting, parenting, parenting. And it all starts with a marriage. And C-I-A-J, C-I-A-J, C-I-A-J. Take pride in the humble circumstance, being called one. And May God bless it for his glory. Any other questions? Sorry about how fast. Brother Mike?